O God of unfailing light, in your realm of glory, the poor are blessed, the hungry filled, and every tear is wiped away. Strengthened by this vision you give us, may we follow in the way of holiness that your Son made known in life and in death. Amen. I hope you got an extra hour's sleep, did you? I didn't. I don't know why I got the backward and the fall and the forward. So I woke up an hour early. I was planning on waking up at 3:30. I woke up at 2:30 in the morning. Ava was not amused. Ava went down and she looked at me and says, "What in the world are you doing?" So she says, "I don't know what's going on." So I hope you got a little bit of rest. I know some of you might be scratching your head with a gospel story that I just did, and especially because of the translation. Did you notice it? It's a strange blissful instead of blessed. And you might be, what in translation is this? We'll get to that. But before going into the Beatitudes, let me share a story that I remember every time I read the Beatitudes. And it's a story, when I was a seminarian, we lived in the Santo Domingo, in the Dominican Republic, the capital. And part of our seminary, it was during the 80s, and it was a lot of discussion that I was part of an order that was a missionary to the poor. And they said, we cannot preach the gospel to the poor if we do not live with the poor. So one of the big things we did, we left the seminary where we lived, the house. It was a big house in an affluent place of Santo Domingo. And we moved to one of the worst slums in the capital city. It was a shanty town. Very, very, very poor. I was looking at it just this week, trying to look in the Google Maps. You know, the Google Map has the you can see the streets. That whole neighborhood, a barrio, it's called Barrio Las Cañitas, that whole section, there's no view because it is kind of dangerous. So we lived there, and it was such a beautiful, beautiful experience. A lot of people are afraid of it, scared of it, but we decided and we moved in. But one of the things among the many beautiful things of getting to know the people, live with them, hear their stories, accompany them in their struggles, it was this little boy. Probably he must have been 7 or 8. And he was paralyzed from his legs, so he couldn't walk at all. But one of the most interesting things, this little boy was so, so content. I've never seen a little boy as happy and joyous as him. He had a bunch of friends, and they took care of him. They would all go to play ball, and there was no wheelchair for him. So what they did was they grabbed him like a sack of potatoes with the arms, and they would carry him wherever they went to play. And he was a scorekeeper. He was always standing on the sides, and they would play, and then they would go somewhere else, and sometimes they forgot him, said, "Hey, here I am." And they would grab him up, and they ran with him, jumping. And the laughter and the glee was incredible. And myself, looking at a situation, I asked, what's going on with him? He's dying. In a couple of months, the doctors say he will die. And that really struck me. I spoke with him a little, and he knew about his death. But that didn't move him at all. He kept on playing, making sure he was picked up and gone to the next field to play. And that really told me, what has this little kid who is extremely poor, is disabled, couldn't walk, and was dying, but nevertheless had this joy in him? And when I read the Beatitudes, I always remember the story of this little kid, because in that kid I discover, what does he have? And I believe the story of the Beatitude is the contradiction that Jesus is pointing out. What you think is happiness or blessedness, there's something else. And that is why I chose the reading from the translation of David Bentley Hart. It was published in 2017 by Yale University Press. And he confesses that his choice of using the word blissful was going to be unsufferable for some people. And nevertheless, you say, I remain entirely impenitent in having done so. And his idea is that blessedness has become so rout that we, blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, and it really doesn't touch. He says, blissful is a word he thinks, we can debate that, but he thinks it touches more the heart of what Jesus was trying to communicate. The origin of the word, they say, came from poetry, like 3 or 4 centuries before Christ. And it was the word that's in Greek called makarios. What it meant was the blessedness of the gods. It was the content, the happiness that resides in the deities, in God. And later on, it was used for the rich, people who were so extremely wealthy that didn't have to worry about anything. So those two, it's interesting. So it's the blessedness, the happiness of the deities of God, and the blessedness of those who are rich, who are wealthy, and have everything and don't need to worry about anything. And Jesus, through Matthew and Luke, uses the same word to talk about the poor, the destitute, those who are mourning and weeping for loss, those who are humble, meek, gentle, those who are hungering for justice, for what is right, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, the persecuted for the kingdom of heaven. Do you see the strangeness of using that same word? The word that was used, this is only reserved for the deity, for God, or only for something really wealthy. And Jesus is saying, no, that blissfulness is found in these, the least in God's kingdom. The Beatitudes contain sacred paradoxes. They present a contrast with a false estimation as to who is truly blessed. So you know, now you see the story of this young boy that I told you about in Santo Domingo comes to mind every time I read the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes point to that deep, special joy, profound joy, not the superficial one, that comes from living the life of God's reign. It's a special intensity of the delight and freedom from care of those that have aligned themselves with the heart of God. And this young boy, he didn't go to church. I doubt he even prayed, maybe. But he and his love and his joy with his, and the love that his companions in the street gave him, he had discovered in his own way the value of God's kingdom. The value of just rejoicing in life and living it fully, even though disabled and poor and facing his death. So what I wanted to point out is today is that this blissfulness or blessedness or happiness, whatever you want to use it, is a reality. Even for those who are suffering in pain, when you align your heart to God's heart, we will find it. I want to recognize this child in my story, and those Jesus was talking about were probably not happy in the normal sense of the word. There was suffering. There were tears. There was frustration. I'm not just eliminating the reality of the suffering. But I saw in them God's blessedness and blissfulness. And on the other hand, I have to confess that I see many people who are externally happy, but are not truly blessed. So today, my invitation is, may we all work for a world in which the poor, the hungry, the sick, and the sad, but also the rich, the well-fed, the healthy, may we all be both happy and blessed. Let us pray. God, of all people from every tribe, from every language, you call true witnesses who sing your praise, live your grace, and work for peace. May we share their faith and know our need for you, that we might be a blessing to the hunger of your world, through Jesus Christ, whose body we are.